So, I want to talk a little bit about this retreat and some beginning direction. When you signed up for this retreat, the word anatta was there on the website. This is anatta retreat. Self, non-self, beyond the self. And there can be all kinds of responses. Firstly, some of you for sure didn't read it at all. I just came for a retreat. This is a good time for me. Anatta, shmata, doesn't matter. Or I came to hear Stephen give his thing, and Rennie and Ron. Some of you may say this, I've been waiting the whole year because this is such a key issue. Who am I? Some of you may say, it's just a Buddhist concept. I know it's a big deal, but it's confusing. And some of you may have had experiences, in fact, probably all of us, which are a bit mysterious, and you want to understand these experiences. And maybe this retreat will help to us to get closer to experiences which are beyond the usual. But so in this talk this evening, I just want to kind of put it in perspective. In a way, settle the mind that has all these possible directions of trying to understand what this retreat is about and what is our practice here. All practice is based on an urgency to chifut, an urgency to be free. And the urgency to be free is about the circumstances, and the sibot, we want to change them, we want to have different experiences in the world, and we want to change ourselves in the way we respond to the circumstances, the way we react and respond. We want to respond with less anxiety, more freedom, more joy, more calm. Viruses, politics, climate, money, let them all. The way we respond, we want to change and have that somehow purify or find our freedom in the way we respond to things we can't control. And we forget that the freedoms that we feel through the practice very often come from the back somewhere. We tend to have, the mind tends to have a kind of cause and effect relationship with situations and circumstances. If I do this, if I practice, if I go on this retreat, if, again, imas. Whereas actually the freedom grows in places that we don't notice. The path to freedom is very holistic. It's not linear. Paticca Samuppada. It's a kind of holistic movement where, because of all our practice, because of all our dedication to freedom, because of all our heart that wants to understand, that wants to be free, that because of the way we are in life and what's important to us, all of that frees us. So it's not linear, it's not a hard sibati, there's no real sibatiyut in the spiritual journey. It's much bigger. So it's worth remembering that. Because the person that is looking for freedom keeps changing and doesn't know it, or doesn't always know it. Because the person that is changing doesn't know to judge the person that's changing. The we that's changing is, we keep looking out of at the world with different eyes or a different lens. But what is the lens that looks at the lens? What is the eye that looks at the eye? So just as the message here is we relax and feel changes happening to us in places that we're not in control of. And a lot of relaxation is needed, and a lot of surrender is needed because of that. The fact is that the problem is in the way we are with the world around, but it can never be in the way life is. Life itself is fundamentally free, is already total, is impersonal, unlimited, and not ours. And in a way, liberation is about letting life take us rather than us doing something in order to get liberation. It's about letting go, or letting us be taken by something universal and not ours. Because we can't say we own life. Cannot. Life takes us. And it's very clear in moments where we feel suffering or difficulty, it gets clearer, because we feel, okay, the suffering that I feel now, it really puts me as the sufferer in the center of things. Suffering needs a sufferer. Where is suffering without a sufferer? Is it in life? I had this a funny experience. Maybe some of you already know it, because I told this story in the retreat that I was doing last month, and I can't remember if any of you were there. But in the Tikkun Leil Shavuot we had in my house on Kabbalah, Dharma, and in the middle of the night, as we were studying together, there were some strange noises from the chickens. And I didn't hear that, but someone sitting there said, "Something's happening, go and look." We went out with torches, and we saw this incredible sight, which is 300 kilo wild pig, Khazir Bar, had totally smashed a big door of the chicken shed, broken it to pieces, gone into the chicken shed, smashed everything, and was eating chickens. I thought pigs were vegetarian, but clearly made a mistake. And it was looking at us from the inside the chicken shed, this 300 kilo monster, looking at us as we were outside, saying, "Leave me alone. What are you doing? You're disturbing me." So we got rid of it somehow. It's a bit scary. But at the same time, we were talking about suffering, and we're talking about human conflict, and realizing that this is not human. Conflict is not human. We do it in our way, pigs do it in another way, chickens get eaten. And just that same night, it was such a lesson. The thing is universal. Everything is universal. We tend to take things personally, but the whole picture is universal. So what happens is we build story, we build our self as a picture of us and the world. We build our life. We have explanations and knowledge and a sense of we are somebody. And then we find ourselves controlled by that. We find ourselves a bit in a prison by something that we built, and we're not sure how it happened, and we're not sure how to get out of it, and we're not sure if we should get out of it. Should I be less of a Stephen? Just because the Buddha said. There's a big question here. So I want to go back now to kind of some basics. The practice of awareness, just awareness, of just insight, is the center of our journey to freedom. Part of that, one part of that, is the insight that shows us that we are a person, and that shows us the lens, adasha, that we look at things. Part of that. But the same awareness will also show us the struggle of pigs and chickens, the sound of the insects right now, the sense that we're sitting here quietly. Many worlds that are not to do with me and others, that are just to do with awareness itself. And we begin to see that we have habits of ways of looking. We get into habit, hergelim, filter. The masananim, we see things in a certain way. And these are habits, and they grow on us. And being a subject and an object, me sitting here and listening to the sound, is only one of the ways in which that we grow habits of looking. We learn, and we will learn in this retreat, what are the habits? What are the issues that we meet tiredness. It doesn't have a big label on it, my tiredness. It's there as part of it. But tiredness as an experience, we meet it, we invite it, we look at it. This is part of the experience. It has a self in it, it has a subject, ownership, ba'alut. I am tired. It's not the tiredness of the grass and the trees, it's taken inside, but still, it's an experience. So, atta anatta, self and non-self, is actually a world of experiences, and it's part of a very big world of experiences, of which part of it is the movement of ownership, of balut, of center, of subject, object. Just one part of the whole picture. And we can see the practice is in two ways. One is we can see how when difficulty arises, like tiredness, pain, suffering, struggle, limitation, want to change experience to something better. And we can see that as it is, as it arises. And then we can see ways of seeing which are much more open, are much more free. And in that dialogue between working with what's difficult and a sense of freedom, a sense that there is a world with us, between the two, our practice is flowing all the time. Between a sense of something bigger and a sense of working, like I said before, la louche, to work with our difficulty. And then we begin to understand anatta and atta as something different. When I look at an object, and the object can be me, or it can be a hand, or it can be a tree, our first approach is to see it as something. Gradually, we look at it more deeply, we look at it more carefully, and it begins to tell us many stories. The tree turns into a bit of a poem. The tree sings a song. The hand is no longer a hand, it's full of experiences. The body that we have is no longer just a body, but it's kind of a world of changing experiences, moving, flowing, interesting. One breath is not a breath, it's a field. And it has many different ways of looking at it. So everything begins to be like a poem instead of a simple description. Person, hand, body, tree. Imagine we look at the sea, Tel Aviv, sea, and then we look at our mobile phone. What's the difference between looking at the sea and diving into the sea? When we see, feel the taste of the water, the small fish maybe, if we're lucky, maybe not in Tel Aviv. We see sand under, it's warm, it's hot, there's waves, it's with inside the sea, and it's lots and lots of experiences. The word sea, yam, doesn't mean anything anymore. It's turned into a field of experiences. That's anatta. It's not more complicated than that. It's understanding that when we look at any one thing, it naturally opens. It naturally unfolds, it naturally reveals its poetry, its dimensions, its layers. So it's the quick look versus the deep look. And that takes us to another place. Anatta is no longer a concept. We don't have to think about self and non-self. Better to think about it like that. A quick look, or dive into. That's already atta anatta. The quick look is a summary, sikum. Tree, zil, finished. Hand, that's it. See, yum, I saw it. Dog, barking. That's it. That's not it. That's just the beginning. And if we understand that, then everything gets, in a way, more simple. Anatta is not, and self and non-self is not a concept. And we're doing it anyway. Every time we're doing mindfulness, meditation, vipassana, whatever you like to call it, looking in to something that is needs us to meditate in order to look inside something that usually we just give a quick look, sikum, just a quick look. That's the only difference. We can forget all these words, anatta, atta. That's all it is. The Buddha was very clear about this, and, you know, I have the last 30 years kind of different differences in coming, very delicate, very fine, adeen sort of arguments with my non-dual friends, because the Buddha didn't like words like oneness or hakol or universe, universal, or Ein Sofi. The Buddha didn't really like that, because for the same reason he said, look, anatta, if you call it a concept, anatta, emptiness, you kill it. And in a certain way, he's right. I don't think it's wrong to listen to non-dual teachers and to use words like emptiness. There's no problem with that, but I think we need to see it something a little bit different in a very, very practical, simple way. We have a choice of diving into the ocean or a quick look at it. That's our choice. And I think we're here to dive in. And it doesn't matter so much what we dive into. It can be standing half an hour in front of a tree, or it can be closing our eyes and having 3/4 of an hour looking at this body and mind and beginning to open the box. And we're already in anatta, because atta, meaning the subject, the self, is a label, a thought, a concept, a conditioned habit of thinking. Quick one. Me, I exist. When people say to me, wait a minute, what about the retsef, the continuity? Surely I'm a person, because I'm the same person all the time. I think of myself, I get up in the morning, oh, Stephen again. And the next morning, oh, again, another one. Another Stephen again. Oh, same one. Huh? But is that really true? Can any of you say that you were the same person that you were when you were 5 years old? What sort of a different person you were at 5 years old? And what different person you were yesterday? And what different person you were when you sat down here half an hour ago? With totally different thoughts, with totally different breath. Kol ha'taim hem achirim kvar ba'od chetzi shah. Everything is different, but we don't notice it because we're in the sikumim, the world of summaries. So we think we're in the same person. But as soon as we open that, we're not at all the same person. So I want to really, I don't think I'm going to say much more right now. I think the message, I think, is getting through. The whole issue of atta, anatta, is in a way we can change that to understand there's something here which is very natural in our practice. It's not a big concept that we have to learn and we have to study and we have to think about. And the Buddha didn't like that either. He said the more you take self as a concept, the more you're stuck in it. The image he had was, if you catch a snake by its tail, the head will bite you. So I think the message is, everything we look at, and especially this body-mind, should be the beginning, should be opening a window. It's the beginning of something, not the end of something. When the Buddha talked about anatta as a concept, the message is, if you're stuck with a concept like emptiness, it's the end of something. Whereas actually what happens is it should be the beginning. So we look at a hand, my hand as a hand, or the sea as a sea, or a tree as a tree, or this person as a person, or the knee pain as knee pain, that's just the beginning, not the end. That starts. Yeah, I think that's all I want to say. I just repeat again this last message that it's something very natural that we have the power to be able to see inside all experience, and it's the inside experience. Inside experience is liberation. The Buddha said that two kinds of people, those that are practicing, those that are not practicing. How do you recognize what's the difference between the two? The language he used was those who are practicing see inside, and they see the subtle things. Those that are not practicing see exactly what I said before, sikumim, summaries, quick look. And he called them the thick ones, fixtures. That was the name in the Pali. It's translated into English as thick. The ones that are not practicing are thick. I think we used to use the same language in the hippie time for those that are not turned on. So just to have that sense that that's what we're doing here, it's very natural, and in the course of the practice we will discover, we will open worlds, we will see the poetry of things, we will see, and this is our journey, we will open boxes all the time, we will unpeel the kalef, unpeel what is seems to be. And one of those places is me, who I think I am. And we kalef that as well. Okay, thank you. Shall we take just a moment of quiet? And then actually we're having a meditation.